Hey folks, Ragnar here with a quick recap of the last episode of Dorks and Half-Orcs. When last we left our heroes, a few key things had happened. The first being the discovery of an active mine only 3 days' travel away from the Crystal Cathedral. All this was thanks to our quiet yet powerful resident druid, Niara, whom, with being in the Crystal Cathedral, was able to use commune nature and discover the mine. However, in the process, she also discovered that the mine is inhabited. By what and whom, we do not know, but hopefully we will find out soon. Second, the training and locating of magic users and stealthy folks went quite well. In fact, it went well enough that Elfu managed to gain himself a Goliath Warlock disciple named Glador. Finally, and probably the biggest thing to occur, was the discovery that Zebzar had broken his paladin's oath to the war god Grumsh. We also discovered that due to breaking his oath with Grumsh, Zubzar was now having moments and attacks of PTSD. He refused to speak with any of the group about this, and instead fell, or perhaps willingly aligned himself with the Dark Patron, offering power in exchange for blood. Alright, let the adventure continue, and please enjoy the latest episode of Dorks and Half-Orcs.
Alright, picking up where we left off last time, everyone had gone to bed after a long day of training and recruiting and all around trying to learn where the party stands with other members of the Crystal Cathedral. As this morning begins, everyone wakes up and I presume travels down to the dining hall where breakfast is being served. So yeah, everyone, you gradually, one at a time, make your way into the room. What would you like to do or discuss?
Is everyone there?
Yeah. Well, so the main party is there. There's no other NPCs or anything.
What's the food situation like?
The same as usual.
Is it,
you've got some
like
chicken.
Meat and potatoes.
You got potatoes. You got veggie tables.
Is there pepper?
So a very hearty
there's
breakfast
pepper.
For the morning.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab an entire roast chicken. For an appetizer.
And everyone, you watch Ari, before he even sits down, reach out and just palm a roast chicken and pull it over to him.
You think you can eat a whole chicken? I'm also going to do that. It's just like Ari. And then...
Just like Ari.
Everyone, you watch Zubzar as he sits down, grab a whole roast chicken and pull it towards him across the table.
How many roast chickens are on this table?
There's like three across the table, so...
Alright, there's gonna be nothing
there's
left
two
for
gone
us.
Now.
Yeah.
There's two gone and Ragnar's gonna take
I
the
just
next
pull...
one.
I stand up and like, I'm gonna be back in a bit. And just leave the room.
You're gonna hunt your own chickens?
I just...
He's gonna hunt some.
He doesn't need to eat.
I just pull a leg off of one of the chickens.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a disgusted look from everyone eating entire chickens. Guys, way too much.
I do not care what they think.
Ugh. It's a single leg.
Isn't the arm?
You're
vegan?
Fine. No,
oh,
that's
okay.
Just a lot of chicken. Okay. For one person, it's a whole chicken.
He's 8'4".
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Still like...
And he's got more muscles than The Rock.
But that's an appetizer. You're having a chicken for an appetizer.
I'm a hungry man.
Ugh. Mayra's just gonna eat at the edge of the table, just kinda like...
Who's gonna?
Why?
Do I see Ash at the table?
No, it's just you guys. Hey, Ragnar, you're walking off. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm walking to go to the Squat's hut, which is what I'm now calling his forge. And grabbing a couple swords, like busted up looking ones. And I'm proceeding towards the basement.
Okay. While you're doing that, everyone at the table, what would you like to do or discuss?
Is Gaul in the room?
Yes. Gaul is curled up behind Niara.
I will rip off a chicken leg from the chicken I'm horfing into my mouth and chuck it over to Gaul.
Sure, make an animal handling
oh,
check, please.
Boy. 20!
I'm sorry, you grab a chicken leg and you hurl it over behind Niara where... Gaul looks up over his shoulder and grabs out of the air and just puts it down and starts chewing on it.
I was really hoping it was going to be a dexterity thing or Gaul just got
I thought you were going to give me like an acrobatics check and I was going to wail Niara in the face with it or something.
I should have, but I didn't.
Yeah. I start preparing a plate full of food. Hey, Mira, where'd you find Ash? Last time, yesterday.
I found Ash in the training room downstairs.
Cool. Alright guys, I'm gonna go train. And I stand up my plate of food and chicken leg, and I'm gonna proceed downstairs.
Yeah, and everyone watches Elfu do this. What's everyone else want to do?
I'm gonna finish eating first, and then go join them.
Okay.
What are everyone else's plans?
Ari, I have a question. Lyra, where is she hanging?
I believe she's still in the library.
I think I'm going to make my way to the library and go do some research. Just on the area.
Yeah, and Zubzar gets up and makes his way walking upstairs.
With a whole chicken.
With the whole platter of chicken.
Minus a leg.
Minus a leg.
God, you better not be touching the books with those chicken.
I'm going to eat them on the way.
The remaining two at the table are in Niara
and Mira.
You're eating. Yeah. Remaining three, what do you guys want to do?
Everyone seems very quick to leave this morning without eating first.
They're animals, a lot of them.
I look at my plate and then at Mira's and Niara's and realize that I have a lot more food than you do. Would either of you like any of this chicken?
Is that fucking true?
He's not an animal.
It's okay. There's a whole other chicken to eat.
Okay.
It's okay. You just.
And then with that, he cuts off that. Like half of the chicken and just puts it in his mouth.
What?
Anaconda.
Jaw on hinges.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
So the rest of you are gonna just finish your meals then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna go according to the turn order that we rolled. Since people are splitting off for stuff. Zubzar.
Yes.
You make your way up to the library.
So can I like do the adventure on the way?
What adventure on the way?
There's a road.
It's upstairs.
Oh.
I don't know. It's in the same building.
Zubzar throws the chicken in the stairwell.
It's like a mansion in 20 huts, isn't it?
So there's chicken on the stairs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
it's
you leave...
like chicken on the way.
You leave the roast chicken on the stairs and continue up the stairs going along the archway on the second floor until you reach the library. What do you want to do in the library?
As I get into the library, I'm just going to... openly yell, I guess, here. Lyra, are you in the room?
Give me a perception check. Ari, can you give me a stealth check for Lyra, a dexterity?
Where's my die?
And then just add your dexterity modifier to it, please.
21.
So you call out into the library.
Yeah.
And your voice echoes and there's no response.
Is there an open table with, like, light on it? Like a good...
Yeah, there's a single table along the back wall.
I'm gonna go down to the table and I'm gonna take out my book that I have in my inventory, the missile one. I'm gonna pop it out on the counter. And I'm going to, now again, Lyra, I was wondering if you could help me read this book.
This time, before you even start to speak, as the book opens and hits the surface of the ice table, you hear Lyra from somewhere in the library. And what interests in that do you have?
I'm going through some stuff recently, and I think the contents of this book will help me do that.
The contents of that book are for the damned and the soulless.
Can I talk to you about something? Something between us? Maybe. Not even Ari?
You can talk to me, but anything that I know in turn will be known by Ari.
Can you tell Ari to come here? Is that a thing you can do?
Make a persuasion check. As you try to persuade her to go out of her daily routine of just reading things.
Can I? Yeah, persuasion? Yeah. Oh, 22, 21.
Hot damn.
Fire.
You hear some rustling of the paper and the flapping of paper wings as she flies down from a top shelf, landing over beside you near the book, looking at it. And her little paper drake head turns up towards you as a tiny tongue slithers out at you. Yes, I can call Ari.
So I know you think I'm a paladin, and the guys have kind of built that I'm that.
No,
you know sums up.
Yes.
I'm going to hold my hand out, just kind of like magic my hand for a second. Just Eldritch Blast, but like, you know, 1%.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you hold up your hand, and you reach into something that you had been missing since you broke your symbol. This connection to something greater that wasn't there before. And as you hold on to it, you feel this burst of adrenaline, and it's hard to place at first, but it's like this anger that's just boiling under your skin. And as you feel it, you direct it towards your hand, and there's a sudden burst of black and green arcane energy. And Lyra looks at you and she doesn't really have eyes, so you can't tell where she's looking, but her head is facing towards you. And she continues, I assume something was up when you wandered back to your room half awake, sweating and swearing.
Yeah, it's been a rough few days. I'm just trying to learn how to control this, really. But I took this book from this library out of impulse when I was going through all that. And I more or less think I just want to try and research it, if that's possible.
That is not for me to decide, as I can transcribe it and translate it for you. Any scriptures that I may do for works like this are up to Ari.
Well, if we could, maybe, if, like you said, you could summon him and we could wait here for him and then go from there. Okay. I'd like the rest of the guys not to know about this for now.
Okay, Ari.
Mm-hmm.
As you're taking another handful of roasted chicken and just putting it in your mouth,
pounding,
just unlocking that jaw and putting her in, you hear Lyra's voice in the back of your mind. Ari, I need you in the library. I need your judgment on something.
All right.
And as you get up, and are you taking the chicken with you, or are you leaving it?
I'm mostly done it by now. Okay. I get up from the table and I say, if you'll excuse me, and then I walk away.
Okay, and as you begin walking up towards the library, you walk towards the stairs, and on the second landing, you walk by a platter with a bitten into roasted chicken.
How much of the chicken is not bitten into?
Most of it. Like it's like 86%. There's like a few bites in it.
He picks it up and takes like a big bite, like he's taking a bite out of an apple, and keeps going.
Okay. And as you continue walking, Lyra, as you continue your way to the library, Lyra informs you, Zubzar is attempting to read something that is not for him, and I can help him, but as Ayun's protector of knowledge, I do believe that it is up to you as to whether or not he is worthy of this kind of knowledge.
What kind of knowledge are we talking about?
The abyssal sorts. Demons. I wish not for anything to be lost in translation. This is something that you and him should discuss. It is not fair for me to change any messages.
I understand. I guess he's at the library right now.
Yeah.
So I walk over to Zubzar and say, I heard that you may need my guidance.
Yes. I know usually in times like this, you're one to stand behind us up and we take the brunt of it, but as of recently I've had some things going on, and I was telling Lyra here, which I'm sure she's communicating to you, that I'm trying to do some research into other things. I'd like if this was maybe kept on the down low for now, maybe not tell the rest of the gang.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Come stand by the chair for me here.
Okay, and I walk over to the chair.
So I'm just going to use Command Sit.
Okay. Ari, I need you to make a Wisdom saving throw against whatever your spell save DC is on your spell page.
Oh, boy. Man.
That's not you rolled a 20.
Oh, okay.
12.
He rolled a 20. Ah. So are
nothing at all happens, and you're just like, what?
Can you mark off the spell slot as well, please?
Yes.
Ari, you walk over beside him, and Zubzar turns, and you hear him say, sit. And as he does, a quick jet of black and green energy shoots out of his mouth towards you. It hits you, and you feel this slight tingle on your skin, but nothing happens beyond that.
Sorry, I haven't quite got the hang of this, but what I'm trying to commune is, I guess I'm a warlock now.
And warlock allied with a dark deity at that.
So you can't pick your family, you can pick your friends. It's kind of like, you pick me.
I understand that. What are you hoping to learn from this book?
Just what I can achieve with the power I've been given. And how to keep it in line.
Excuse me for a second. And then I speak telepathically to Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
What is contained in this book exactly? Do you know?
It's information on the Abyss and on its lairs, as well as the demons that dwell there.
Is it possible to limit the information that we give Zubzar to specifically what he needs?
I can do that. Anything I rewrite is completely up to me. I once rewrote a country's entire history as a prank.
I'm gonna try to forget that you said that.
Ayun was not pleased with me, so I would appreciate it. But yes, the fact is, yes, I can rewrite it as I see fit.
All right. Zubzar, do you know the name of your deity?
I mean, like, there's some things I'd like to keep close to the chest for now, but I plan to tell the rest of the group before we head out on any journeys about the rest of this, and by then I'll have a way to tell you all.
I think it would be easiest to help you if we know specifically what we're dealing with.
Does Lyra not trust me?
Deception. Ari, can you roll insight? Roll deception.
That's cocked.
6+7. Yeah, talk about Beth and that in a sec.
18.
To be fair, you don't know his name.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Ooh. You literally have nothing revealed
that
to you about him.
Part. Yeah, I just got a picture that said his name above him.
Yeah. Sorry, what were the rolls?
18 for me.
Not that.
So here's the thing. You, Ari, you can tell just by the way that Zubzar is as a person that he's holding something back, as he normally does.
He's a lying fuck.
But but there's this un-Zubzar-like unease where you can tell even he doesn't really know what he's talking about. It's taking shots in the dark.
Okay. Zubzar, could you describe how this power makes you feel and how it manifests?
Well, basically it feels that it was given to me because of past traumatic experience. So I feel as though pain and suffering are direct cause and effect. Whether that be if I'm hurting something or if it's hurting me.
Does it always manifest in the black and green energy?
So far. I haven't had a lot of time to experiment with it, but everything I've seen up to today and now.
I would recommend not experimenting too much with it. And then he speaks to Lyra again. Does any of that description remind you of any deities?
No, it could be any demonic presence. The ability of a warlock doesn't necessarily come from a deity. It comes from a deal or a pact or a boon with a creature that can give them power in return for something else. May not be a god, it could be a powerful fiend or a wizard or a necromancer or even a a paladin with enough ability could have a warlock serve underneath him. There are too many factors as to what this could be. Though, because it is a book of the Abyss, I would assume that it would be a fiend.
So what do you think we should disclose to Zubzar?
I can translate bits and pieces of it, though if I find anything shocking or alarming, I can block it out and suggest that he speak to the party first, and then I can reveal it.
I agree, that would be best. Zubzar, Lyra will translate pieces of the text in hopes that we can better understand what's going on.
It'll be best to start small, so I'll just continue reading here on some other topics, and we'll get started on that.
Cool. And anything else you guys want to...
Does Ari need to stick around for...
No.
No? I'm going to head to the sparring area.
Okay.
Then.
Okay, we're going to continue down just the order list here. Ari, when we get to you, we'll skip because we just know what just happened. Niara. After Ari stands up and excuses himself from the table, he leaves you and Mayra to enjoy your meals. Is there anything you would like to do?
It's the two most awkward people together.
Just avoiding eye contact, just sitting right next to each other.
How's your food fine?
It's weird how they took all those chickens.
Yeah, everyone seems pretty eager to
eat a whole chicken and run away.
Yeah. So I heard you were from the Elderwood.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Can you explain a little bit about that?
As the Elderwoods? You want the whole story or just a little snippet of what it is?
Whichever you prefer is easiest, I guess.
Well, since I have to talk to the rest of the group about it, it's basically just a piece of the Feywild dropped into the material plane as, like, a locking mechanism, sort of.
And just, like, a quick explanation. The Feywild is... Let's say what everyone's on right now is the Prime Material Plane, which let's consider that a neutral zone. The Feywild is like a mirror of the Material Plane, but everything's chaotic. It's fairies, elves, fae in general. But everything is brightly colored, and trees can act like animals, and everything's very randomly assorted. So yeah, it's where a lot of, like, elves and high elves and stuff like that come from. So just an explanation so you know what it is.
Mm-hmm. So everyone, like, takes a shot of acid before they go in.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it's a... Yeah. It's a...
What are we doing this weekend?
No.
But, yeah, I'm from the Elderwoods, sort of. I'm originally from the Feywild, but I'm in charge of protecting this particular Elderwood.
Didn't everyone in the group get lost in the Elderwood for quite a long time?
Nope.
No one really talks about it much, but I've heard terrible things happened in there, but it's hard to figure out what happened because I feel weird to ask, but...
Mira, the world's shittiest tour guide.
Fuck off, Ragnar. Technically, I wasn't the one guiding us.
So was it your fault? Just tell us.
Shh. Ari,
you guys
was guiding
there.
Us right. Because he was possessed by a hag that I've been trying to get to for, like, months. The Elderwood is not even to navigate. You just kind of go with the flow.
So I've heard. I don't think I'd want to go in there.
Do what you gotta do.
Did you end up finding the hag?
Yeah.
That you were looking for?
Yeah. That's why I'm outside of the Elderwoods now. She kinda teleported us all away.
So she's still alive in there?
Yup. And I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, I think that too. Well, hopefully everyone in the group will kinda open up about what happened.
Can you make either a religion or history check? Just to see if you know who this hag is. Yep, yep. D20. Okay. And then add religion or history, whichever one's highest.
17.
Oh, that's solid.
oh, that hag.
So, during your time in the Holy City, with you and Faileth, kind of like bringing together what druids you can and trying to keep the rose circle together, you never heard any names, but you did hear about a hag's coven in the Elderwood that were taking kids in there and other people and bringing them in. So you're aware of it. You don't know names or anything like that.
Okay. Any other questions about the Elderwoods?
No, that's it for now.
Cool. So you're from the Holy City. And the Rose Circle, what did you do there? Other than, like, obviously take care of animals.
I helped train other druids to help keep the city standing.
That's noble.
As you two continue to converse and slowly get quieter, you both turn to your plates and continue eating. Next person. Ragnar.
Yo.
You... I hate use slurs because they get stuck in my head. You make your way outside, and the sun is still slowly rising, so refugees are out and about beginning their day's work. A lot of them steering clear of you. Some whisper and kind of like shrug away, or a mother's walking with her kid and she grabs her kid's shoulder and like turns them away.
I quickly turn and go, boom.
Make an intimidation check, please.
I did it jokingly because I rolled a 1.
Could it be an acrobatics instead and he falls in his face?
Actually, no, sorry, that was a 7.
When you go to shout boo at them, they've already turned around. So you do so, and the mother turns around to look at you and just furrows her brow and turns and pulls her kid away faster. And you continue towards Firtala's smithy, where, as usual, he's outside, pounding away on armor and weapons. How would you like to approach him?
I walk up and go, "Hey, Squat, I'm taking these two swords. I'll bring them back in a bit."
I
just grab them and then turn around and walk away.
I was just going to say, he, as you go and you grab them, no response from Firtala. Just continues hammering away.
It's because he trusts me. He's a boy now.
And you,
or he couldn't hear you because of the hammer.
Oh,
either way.
And you return back to the Crystal Cathedral, where you...
I'm heading right down to the training room.
Okay. You walk by the dining hall to go to the stairs, and you see Mira and Niara both awkwardly red-faced eating their meals. Gaul is actually behind Niara and can sense the tension, and he's just looking between the two of them.
I quickly make a pit stop on my way, walk in there, and I grab the look at you both and go, "You guys gonna have this chicken?"
No.
I grab it with my big bear claw, take a good bite out of it, and then as I'm walking out, I throw the rest to Gaul.
Make an animal handling check.
Throws it out the window. 14 or 18? No, it's 14.
You go to chuck it at Gaul, but he's pretty distracted by the tensity of his best friend.
I just keep walking.
It flies by him, and yeah, you turn and continue walking to the stairs.
So that was weird.
What?
Mira, we're going to skip you unless you had something you wanted to do.
I'd like to escape the awkward interaction and go downstairs.
Okay. You rise and begin walking downstairs. Nira, do you want to follow? Or do you just want to sit and continue?
I'm going to watch the sparring.
Okay, so both of you get up and walk downstairs. We're going to go back in time to Elfu, because you rolled so low on your initiative. Everyone else was.
He's been there the whole time watching them be tense.
Elfu, you were actually the first one to to rise and go downstairs with your food and another platter of food. You walk down the several flights of stairs, make your way through the alchemy lab into the back corner where the training room is. And in there you find the large ice room. And in the center is Ash sitting cross-legged, eyes closed, both hands clasping something. And it's silent in the room.
I'm gonna sneak up to her with a plate of food.
Okay. Can you roll stealth, please?
20.
Ah, damn.
The plus 9.
Yeah, she doesn't notice that.
Isn't it just against her passive anyways?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she doesn't notice it anyways. It's not stealth, not 20. Yeah, and you put a platter in each hand.
I just have a drum in one hand.
Oh, it's a drum and a platter. Yeah. Sorry, so you have a drum in one hand and a platter in the other. And you very carefully pick where you step in the ice, avoiding any imperfections, any crunches or anything like that, until you're about 10 feet away from her.
All right, I'm gonna basically walk up right in front of her, just like eating this chicken leg. You know, place the platter down in front of her. What are you doing?
Oh, what the fuck? Don't sneak up on me like that.
I was just walking.
You walk very quietly.
That's the point. Brought you breakfast.
Oh, thanks.
So you've been spending all of your days just training down here?
Well, I don't think I can really help with anything else. No one else needs any medical attention, and I thought I could better myself down here.
That's fair. I need to do some training, too.
Oh.
And I just walk over to the weapons rack. What do you use?
I've been using spells. I don't... As you've seen before, and she stands up and tucks her symbol of the silver flame into her tunic. She stands up and she awkwardly scratches the back of her head. You've seen before. I'm not good at fighting.
I kind of pull my collar down to show the big scar where I got cut in half once. Yeah, like, obviously me either, but I should probably get good at it.
And when you do that, she sees it, and kind of without her really realizing she's doing it, you watch her hand go up to the scar that runs from beside her mouth to under her ear, and just kind of, like, touch where it is. And she goes, yeah, I remember that.
So you're a cleric. A mace, I guess?
I've never used... I'm used to training with hatchets.
All right, I grab myself a short sword and a shield, and I use a shield.
I can try.
All right, and I toss her a shield and just like a hand axe.
Okay, and she takes both of them.
All right, I square up, and you ready?
And she takes a stance as well. Everyone else except for Zubzar, because you're reading stuff. At this point, you slowly file in to see Ash and Elfu, both in kind of like half battle stances, facing each other.
Oh, I'm just gonna stand up against the wall, kind of like leaning against it, and be like, I got money on the half elf.
Which one?
That was a joke.
I have money on Ash.
Do I notice them?
Yeah, they're talking. They walked in and they're talking.
How much money?
10 silver.
I'll put a gold on the woman.
Well, we're betting for the same person, so...
Oh, fine. I'll take the fool.
As I see this, I'm actually going to just place my weapon down, and I'm going to just, like, kind of clap my hands together, just press the digitation and get all the chicken grease off of them. So now it's a real fight.
Oh, it's a real fight.
Yeah, I don't need to describe that. You did it.
You are getting any money on this?
I'll bet 4 gold on Ash. We're all betting Ash.
God, this hurts.
Hey, Ari, who are you betting?
I have money on you. Only because it's the only way the wager's gonna work.
Why are we putting coinage onto the half-elves?
Because they're fighting?
Fun to watch.
He's taking it literally. He has no betting this.
Because it's a bet. It's fun.
I will put 5 gold on Elfu.
He
takes 5 gold from his pouch and he puts it on to Elfu's shoulder.
Okay, really quick, what's the total bet on Elfu?
Five.
5 gold. I'm the only one that bet on elf.
Oh.
No, I bet on
too. Oh, you did? Oh,
okay. You should bet a ridiculous so amount gold. Because he also probably has no
that's a good
idea
of
the
okay.
value of money.
I won gold.
I thought you were going to bet all your money.
I thought you were going to be like 500 gold.
Sorry, I just want to keep track of it. Okay, so it's 6 and 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even.
Both the boys bet for the boy and them.
So just a real quick explanation for everyone for rules for sparring. You'll be given 25 points of temporary health, which will be ice armor that comes up out of the ground, very much like how the Deathless was formed when Ash was training.
All right, guys, so do winners get any of this pot here, or?
No.
Taking 20% if I win.
No.
What?
You can fight me for your 20%.
You guys suck. All right.
You can do it, Ash.
Of course she can. He sucks.
Guys, all right, let's roll initiative.
Can I hear echoes coming
no,
from the chamber?
No.
I want to yell dance monkey.
It's a good library.
It's a good solid library.
Sorry, I just need to add Ash's weapons because they're different. Yeah.
She also has a shield, so he has +2.
Yep.
AC.
Okay, so yeah, you and Ash square up facing each other. And you see this look overtake her. She goes from kind of a calm and collected Ash to narrowed features, very focused, and her eyes are just scanning all over you. Roll initiative.
That is a 13.
13? Man, her initiative sucks. That's an 18.
Man, her initiative sucks.
It does.
Gets to hit first.
So there's a silence in the room as Ash and Elfu face each other, and in a blurred movement, Ash takes a step forward, bringing the hand axe up above her left side and bringing it across to slash at Elfu. That's 14.
Does not hit.
And as the hand axe comes down, how do you want to, do you want to block or dodge?
I'm just going to parry it with my blade and just like semi-circle, bring it down.
Okay. You bring your blade up, hooking him underneath the hand axe and then twirling it down so her arm comes down beside her. It's your go.
With my sword down, I'm just gonna bring it up at her shoulder.
Okay, attack roll.
That is a... Sorry, I don't know how much I do with just a regular short sword.
Add it to
hey
your
guys,
thing.
What's 3 plus 3? 6?
6.
Yeah.
Plus 8? 14? 14.
So as you go to bring the short sword up to hit her, she unhooks her hand axe, taking a step to the side as your blow flies through the air, leaving you open, and she takes her her shield and punches forward to slam it into your now exposed ribs. I'm just going to do a strength check because it's... That is a 17.
Still does not hit. Bounces off my shield.
Okay. Her shield comes up, and you bring your shield down as quickly as you can, and the two shields slam into each other, echoing throughout the room. It's your go.
I'm just going to ready up my stance, and I'm going to say, I'm just going to talk, and I'm like, yeah, so I learned a quick little thing just the other day. It's not our fault that Ignar fell, and then that's my turn.
Asher also takes a step back, dropping down into a battle stance. Her face unchanged by what you say. As she takes a step forward, she goes for a blow to the head and then feigns down towards the leg. Probably doesn't hit. 15?
Nope. You have to be an 18.
See, so
just
high.
Continuing to take a dodge action, I'm just kind of circling her. And, like, we were just scapegoats the entire time. The council tried to escape. That's my turn.
Okay. As you circle around her, still speaking, she takes a step backwards and swings wildly with the hand axe, making another attack. While she does yelling, shut up! 20.
That's gonna hit.
About time.
And she does 5 points of damage as she swings wide. You bring up your shield to try and block, but she feigns again, bringing it down and catching you in the abs.
Okay, we're only doing this for 25 damage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so with that, I'm going to just do a downward strike right at her, because I think she had, like, lower ground. Natural 20.
Yep.
That's a 5 on the die, so 10 plus dexterity, 13 damage. And with that, I'm just going to bring it down. Like, there's nothing we could do to protect them.
And as you bring this sword down, it slams into her right arm, which holds the axe. And she struggles to hold up onto it from the blow, her entire body shaking. And she's unable to. Her hand slips and the axe falls to the ground. And she takes a step forward from where she is, lower down, attempting to uppercut with her her shield. Not doing good. And as she uppercuts, how do you want to block
her? I'm going to just bring my foot up, so then she just... Her shield impacts the bottom of my foot, and I can just push back down.
Mm-hmm. Make a strength check.
All right. Natural 20 again. It's the best purchase I've ever made.
Yeah, your foot meets her shield as you give a quick jerk, slamming her down into the ground. She lands, the shield hits and clatters off to the side.
Finish her.
She stops and she looks up at you, sweating. She brings her right arm up and kind of like cradles it, and you can see that it's bruised and it's shaking.
All right, and do I still have an action?
That was, yeah, her, she.
Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna bring the sword down into the ice, like right next to her face.
Okay.
That's it, right?
Can you make an aim check?
No, you have to aim for that.
Yeah.
Can you make a strength check?
Yeah. That is 18 minus 1, 17.
You take that dice away from you.
No.
As you slam the wood practice sword into the ice, end of it shatters and splinters. You let go and it falls with a clatter. And I'm going to assume you guys are out
of initiative. Yeah, I'm going to bring up my hand to pull her up, and I'm going to say, there was nothing we could have done to save anyone before. But now we're the only hope they've got. So, you're right to get strong. We're going to have to protect them from this point on.
Make a persuasion check.
So that's 12 plus 7, 19.
She looks up at you, moving some hair out of her face, and then grasps your forearm, attempts to stand up as you pull her up, and when she does, she looks at you and, thanks, Elfu.
You're welcome. Your breakfast on the table. And I just walk away. I assume someone brought it to the table, unless...
There's no table in there. Ash looks around and she goes, there's no... It's on the floor, Elfu.
That's the table.
I just walk away. I'm not acknowledging it.
I pass 10 silver to Ragnar.
You also already 10 silver.
No.
He bet on Elfu as well.
No, that's the pot. You guys split it.
Yeah. So you get 10 silver and 2 gold, and he gets 3 gold.
Fucking enjoy the chump change, guys.
Sweet. You guys can mark that off on your sheets.
1,003. I walk over to Elfu and be like, you beat me to it, except I was going to use real swords like a real person.
I'll use a real sword.
Alright, looks like we got our next matchup, guys. Mera, Ragnar, get in there.
I'm going to fight the outcast.
Really quick, before we get into that, I need to see what Zubzar is doing. Otherwise, poor Jason's going to sit there and do nothing the entire time.
Zubzar turns to Lyra. How long do you think this will take to translate?
It's abyssal. It may take some time.
Not to rush you. I just wondering.
The better part of a day.
I was thinking of making a deal with you. You said you couldn't translate all this text now. How do I get you to do the rest?
You can't.
Is there anything I could do that would further along the situation?
Ari is the protector of knowledge and a patron of Ayun, and his word is law when it comes to knowledge and my doing with it.
Well, did he say what I could do to...
Whatever he spoke to you.
I'm thinking of maybe telling the guys while they're training and Ragnar's all tuckered out that this has happened. I was thinking of going down there and maybe showing them some of my power while they're training.
If you can persuade them of your worthiness of this knowledge, then that is your own initiative to do so.
I'm
not going to lie, Zubzar. I don't care.
I'm going to do it. He kind of like looks at his shield sentinel. We're going to do it. And like shines up the front of it because he hasn't talked to it in a while.
And the shield sentinel just gives a little...
And then I'm going to head my ass down the staircase.
All right.
Let me know when I enter the door. Who's in front of me?
For the sake of time, we're going to say that you would probably show up during Mayra.
I was going to say at the end of their fight.
Near the end of the fight. Yep. Yeah. Back down in the training room, Ragnar and Mayra.
Yeah.
You guys were discussing your fight.
There's a short sword. I just toss it at you. No shields. They're blunted. I have to fix them later.
Do I get to use magic?
No.
Okay. Go well for Mayra, but it'll be fun.
And as you guys walk to the center of the room, you hear a voice from the entrance. I put 5 gold on the wood elf as Ember comes walking in.
I also, too, put 5 gold on the wood elf.
Do you know what a wood elf is?
An outcast elf, like you.
Okay. Just making it's 1d6 for a short sword, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Ember walks in and takes a spot beside Ari along the wall. He nudges you with his elbow and he goes, "Hey, how's it going?"
Hello. And Ari looks between Mira and Ragnar, and I pull out 10 gold and walk over and place it onto Ragnar's shoulder.
Ari, that's not how we do it. You just put it in the middle and we divvy it up later. Whoever wins.
I just take the gold and put it in my pocket.
You gotta
appreciate that.
Gotta bet again now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you gotta mark that off
yeah.
now.
And I take another 10 gold and put it in the pile of the rest of the gold.
That means I got 5 extra gold for no reason.
No.
Is Alpha being really
put it
cloudy?
On my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Is he being really cocky about his
wait.
Should we roll for initiative?
Yeah. Hold on, is anyone else betting? Who are you betting on?
Ragnar,
how much?
He said 10.
10. And I freely gave Ragnar another 10.
Okay.
I'll do 10 for Ragnar.
Shit.
Who's
holding the pot? Just wondering. Who's holding the pot?
Like physically holding it?
No, I think we're all just putting it on the floor.
Yeah, it's just going on the floor.
Next to the chicken.
Alright.
Spray on the chicken. In the head.
Yeah, I'll put 5 on. On Mayra, just to make it interesting.
Just to make it interesting, huh? You
better bet for your girlfriend.
Well, she's not. She's Mayra. She's different.
She's a dirty outcast.
She's just like a really bitchy elf.
Oh, fuck off.
It's your character.
I know.
Sorry.
I like the
she's kind of like that in real life, too.
I'm gonna kick you in the shin. And that's Janine talking to Jason in real life.
Other Jason.
Not my Jason.
No. There's too many Jasons.
Can I have a initiative roll from both of you, please?
21.
19.
Okay. Mayra, what do you want to do?
Alright, Mayra is gonna look at this giant person of a human. Supposedly. And just, like, quickly run up and try to, like, slash at his side.
Okay. Make an attack roll.
21.
That'll hit.
And that's 8 damage. I rolled damage at the same time.
Yeah. So, Ragnar, Mara quickly drops down and begins to sprint towards you. Without you even realizing, she brings the sword to the side and smacks you in the hip, bruising and drawing a little bit of blood.
All right. After the sword hits, I'm going to quickly, with my free hand, try to grab it.
Okay, yeah, make a... both of you make dexterity checks.
Dexterity save, or just...
You'll make a save, Mira.
19.
You just said straight dexterity?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did make 19.
And your hand reaches down to grab it, and Mira just, like, very quickly moves it out of the way, so you're grasping at air.
And that was your whole action?
Do I still get my 2 attacks?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yep. I'm just going to... As she pulls it back with my other hand, I'm holding it upside down.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, like, bring it across towards her.
Yeah, and you bring your giant arm across with the blade behind it.
24.
Yeah, that hits.
So 7 damage.
I have to do math. Give me 1 second.
18.
Thank you.
Mira, after... you move your blade out of the way of his hand, you look up just in time to see his fist miss you and the blade right behind it go and connect with your shoulder.
Fucking ow.
You have another attack?
Just the two.
Okay, that was two. Okay.
Yeah.
Two actions.
All right. After being hit on the shoulder, Mayra's gonna try to skirt around a little bit and try to attack, like, the back of his knee.
Okay. Yeah, Mayra, you kind of duck underneath the blade that just connected with you, sliding around to Ragnar's left, bringing the sword out to try and hit his knee again. What did you roll?
22 for 6 damage.
As the blade goes forward and just slices through a good chunk of the side of your calf, Ragnar, drawing blood.
I'm trying to think how high you'd be up.
She's moving pretty quick and, like, ducking around.
I'm going to, as she, like, swept her arm across, cutting, I'm going to quickly try to grab her by the back of the neck.
Okay. Make...
like a grapple.
Yeah, both of you make strength checks.
Can I use acrobatics?
It's a grapple, so it's...
yeah, it's technically, acrobatics is fine.
20.
Fuck, 14.
Yeah, Ragnar, you turn after the blade is finishing its arc, you turn and with one of your massive hands just press down, grabbing her roughly by the back of the neck. What do you want to do for your second?
I'm going to look down at her and kind of just slowly pick her up and be like, so we're going to talk about, like, that demon-y thing later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to use my other free hand and just drive it in her gut.
Just a punch?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Make an attack roll.
Oh my god.
That would be 19.
That does hit.
2.
Mira, as soon as Ragnar finishes speaking and you're beginning to respond to him, his other fist connects right under your ribcage and wins you. Everyone else, you hear this from Mayra as the fist hits her in the stomach.
I look around the room. Are you entertained?
I'm gonna play very dirty. And
I'm like fighting at like 10% here. I'm not even really trying.
On him. But she's so small.
I know, that's why I'm holding her like a puppy.
Everyone, can you say that again?
I'm gonna cast Shock and Grasp on him, and that was a...
no spells.
15 plus 7. That hits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's... 7 lightning damage.
Ragnar, both of her... she hangs there limply in your grasp, and then looks up at you with a smirk, both hands shooting up and grabbing your wrist. And as soon as both hands connect, there's a jolt of electricity that slams through your body.
Motherfucker!
forcing your hand open in a jerk. Mayra, you land on the ground on both feet.
And I take a couple steps back so I'm out of his range.
Okay. Your go, Ragnar.
He's going to kind of like swing around, try to do like a windmill punch to her head.
I'm out of range right now.
Yeah, she took 2 steps back. So I'd say she's 10 feet.
You lose reaction because you're talking grasp.
But now it's his action.
Yeah, it's his action now. It's his turn.
What are you at right now?
No, I'm at...
you guys don't have to share that.
I want to know, though.
I'm just going to then take a step forward and just actually...
try to stay up.
You know what? I'm just going to do a nice little lightning lure.
Do you want to describe that?
It's basically a nice lightning whip that I just... protrude from my hand, and when it hits her, just yank her in all nice like.
Okay, so your hand shoots out backwards, and as it does, everyone, you see this tendril of electricity fly back away from him, cracking in the air. Can you...
is it a save?
It's a strength saving throw.
It's a strength saving throw for me?
Yeah.
Shit.
Can I just lean over to Ari and like, yeah, no magic, right?
I don't understand the rules of what we're doing.
You think he helped me by like that?
Well, maybe Battle Royale.
How is a 10?
It's a fail.
Yeah, I figured.
And as Ragnar's hand flies forward, the tendril of electricity follows with it, flying forward and wrapping around your left arm, Mayra. And how far...
oh. Oh, I can pull her up to 10 feet.
And I'm back in range.
Right towards you then?
Yeah, and it also does 2d8 damage.
Yeah, of course it does.
Shocking.
13.
Ooh. Are you still in?
Yeah.
Yeah? So as this tendril wraps around your left arm, there's a yank as you're brought forward towards Ragnar, and a very similar jolt of electricity that went through Ragnar now goes through you as your whole body convulses, causing you to stumble. Can you make a dexterity saving throw? So you try to hold your footing.
Shit, now that one wasn't cocked.
What was that?
It was cocked. I was just like, trying to get it out of the
thing. You can't do that.
I just don't like that.
Again.
Again.
Mulligan.
Yeah.
I'm an 8.
Nate. And as you're trying to keep your footing and not jerk around from the jolt of electricity, your foot slips and you drop down to one knee in front of Ragnar. It's your turn.
I'm gonna cast Ice Snipe on him.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Yeah, I'm gonna come in the door as this is going off.
It's a good time to enter.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna roll for hit first. Shit. Fuck. I didn't hit, but you have to make a dexterity saving throw.
You do too.
Nat 20 on the dexterity saving throw.
That is a 7. Plus...
You're gonna fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
3, so 10.
I'm saving through, right? Yeah, that's still 10.
I have careful spell. It does not fuck me up.
Oh my god. I wanted you to just, like, ice knife yourself.
I'm not gonna ice knife myself.
I'm gonna wait till damage and everything is dealt out before.
I rolled 2 cold damage, and then I'm gonna roll for my wild magic. That was an 11, so I'm good.
Okay.
I have resistance to cold damage, that's a 1.
Okay. As you pat her on the head, you feel this kind of like shift in the air as arcane energy flows underneath her, and without looking up, Mira shoots a hand off up towards you, and a jagged piece of ice flies right past your head, going into the air, and then exploding and shattering down ice shards back towards both of you. And they hit you, but you're resistant, so...
For my first action, I grab her... by the hair now, and just kind of like fling her behind. Is there a wall behind me?
No, it's a pretty open room.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw her like right behind me.
Okay. Both of you make athletics checks, please.
Athletics?
Yeah. Consider it a grapple.
18. Do I get acrobatics then?
Or no. Sorry, acrobatics. See how well you fly.
That would rip out your hair.
That would. I'm gonna make you re-roll. I can impose luck because
not even there.
Throws you harder.
Yeah, I rolled a 15.
Okay, yeah, Ragnar, you grab her by the hair without even like leading up to it, you just jerk her back and pull her behind you, and there is a very audible ripping sound as hair is pulled out of the top of her head. Mary, you fly and slide across the ice behind him. Take 1 point of damage.
I'm still in it. How many feet am I away from him now?
I'd say about 10 feet.
Guys, we said no magic.
Firebolt.
It's still my turn. I still have another action.
He does have another action.
He did.
God, he still has his like full other attack.
You know what?
He's gonna try to kill me.
No, I'm going to return her favor.
Whips out his other page.
And I'm going to use Ice Dagger, which is pretty similar to her
ice
knife.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just like, looks like a knife or a dagger instead.
Yeah.
There's spite in this.
Natural 20.
Fuck, okay, I'm done. You don't even need to roll.
No, I feel like he does need to roll damage.
Shit.
Because if this goes past the 25, then you're adding it onto your...
Well, it's going to go past my 25.
Okay, cool. Roll damage, please. There are consequences for actions.
7.
And I rolled a... 10 for dexterity. Which is...
14, so.
Okay, roll your ice damage. 2d6.
I just did 7.
No, it's 1d10 for piercing and then 2d6.
So 7, and I'll just do a 1d10. One second.
but don't look at me.
7, so 14 total.
Don't forget to double it.
Oh yeah, so that's gonna be 28.
Oh my god.
So Ragnar, without turning around and everyone else, you just watch Ragnar without turning around, bring up his hand, and form this very beautiful curved knife in his hand, and he just flings it over his shoulder, and it arcs through the air, twirling gracefully, and right before it hits Mira is, it explodes into a basically a mountain of shards of ice that slam into her, forcing her into the ground.
I'm just laying there like, ow!
I walk up, and I'm going to use Lay on Hands for my version.
Okay. For how much?
The whole thing, 35.
Oh.
35?
That's nice.
And I'm going to simply sit, look at you and say, remember, I can cast spells too, and I'm not afraid to use them on you.
Zubzar, you would have walked in right as Ragnar tossed the knife over his shoulder.
Wait, who voted for Zubzar?
You mean Ragnar?
Ragnar, sorry.
Yeah, Niara and Ari put 10 gold on Ragnar.
Alright, and I divvy it up, I'm like, alright guys, there you go.
Hello, Ari here. Thank you for listening to our D&D podcast. We would greatly appreciate it if you went to iTunes and left us a review. I know many people have talked about this before, but it really does help a small group of creative individuals like ourselves to get our stories out for the world. If you would like, you could follow us on social media platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. We also have a website, minimumtalent.com. All of our social media platforms are at minimumtalent, except for Twitter, which is at minimum_talent. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
We can just start, Zubzar, if you want to just start off with you walking into the room.
Okay. Ari, us next. I take my sword out and kind of just like clang it on my chest piece.
I don't see why not. And I guess I'll take a sword from the rack.
I'll just throw. I throw one.
Okay, sure. Okay.
And then I point the other one at Niara and go, "You're next."
What?
I want to know how good you are in a fight, other than making the ground very squishy and uncomfortable to walk.
Not a violent person.
Ari and Zubzar, both of you walk into the center of the room, and Ember kind of like shuffles over to you, Elfu, and he leans over. He goes, "Can Ari fight?"
Let's hope so, because 5 on Ari.
I hate to say it, but 5 on Zubzar, and Ember tosses 5 coins into the pot.
I would like to place 5 on Zubzar and 6 on Ari.
Goodness.
It's called hedging your bets.
What are you doing?
I'm hedging my bets. I'm betting slightly more on Ari and a little.
How much on Ari?
6 on Ari, 5 on Zubzar.
I'm going to do 10 silver on Zubzar.
Wait, I'm still writing down that asshole's bet.
Well, you don't have spreadsheets made for this?
No. What do you want to bet?
10 silver on Zubzar.
What?
Okay. Look, I have silver I need to get rid of.
All right. Okay. Would anyone else like to bet?
5 on Zubzar. I'm going very low stakes betting.
And Ash... Ash bets 5 on Ari.
I have to bet on Jason. I'm going to hear about it later.
Yeah. Fuck was that on?
It doesn't matter, you're different people.
Thanks.
Some faith in you, just more in him.
Oh shit, I forgot you can extra attack.
As both of you walk to the center of the room, I need you to roll initiative, please.
A 20.
Oh, 16.
Ari, you're up first.
Okay.
Are you guys using spells in this fight or no?
We'll see how it goes.
You guys suck. No magic.
Ari's going to move forward and strike down at Zubzar's shoulder.
Okay, make an attack roll.
So 16 is attack roll.
18.
So Ari, you take like 2 steps forward because you cover a lot of distance. You're a big boy. And you bring the sword up and then down, and as you do,
Zubzar will take a step back as your arm kind of like parries it, and then I'll take a shot at your arm as you're overextended.
Okay, make an attack roll.
4.
To hit?
No.
Oh, roll to hit.
What's your armor?
12.
Did not hit.
And as Ari's sword arm comes down, Zebzar, you go to swing out at Ari's arm, nearly missing. Ari, it's your turn.
Yeah, he'll just take a lunge at his shoulder.
Sword arm or non-sword arm?
Sword arm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make attack roll.
13?
18.
Yeah, Ari, after he swings, you take a quick step back and then thrust forward with your sword at Zubzar's shoulder. Zubzar, how do you want to...
I open my water bottle and say, geyser. What?
I gotta open up the thing.
He gonna go flying.
A stream.
Unless I'm like a tree and I just like ruin myself.
Ari, I need you to make a DC 13 strength save.
That is a 20, not natural.
What?
Zubzar, why are you hosing him down? You're fighting him, not like bathing him.
Yeah, but I wanted him to be clean.
Okay, so here's what happens.
I know what happened.
Ari, as you go to thrust towards his the shoulder with his sword arm, Zubzar kind of like leans back a little bit and takes out a tiny blue and silver decanter of water and opens the end of it. I'm yelling, geyser! As he kind of falls back a little bit, and about 30 gallons of water come flying out of the end of this thing. Zubzar has to brace with his other foot not to slide back. But being the massive being that you are, you manage to just stand still as all this water just washes over you. And as the water dies down and there's now like just little puddles of water all over the training room, Ari, you don't take any damage, and you don't get moved or anything like that because you made it. Yes?
Wet t-shirt contest!
Look at the bullshit you started, Mira.
Everybody's cheating now.
I thought that one would work. I drop the decanter, and then I pick it up again really fast and shove it in my pocket.
Well, it's still flowing. Yeah.
Well, it's not flowing, it's just dripping.
No, it's done. Yeah. Well, actually, hang on. No, it's considered as part of a bonus action, so it just comes out and that's... It's within the 6 seconds. So you still have an action.
Best 150 gold I ever spent. I take a swing of my sword straight up at him. That wet Ari. 18.
Yep.
One.
So right after Ari, all the water kind of dies down and you can get your bearings, Zubzar's sword just connects with your right under your right pec, getting lodged in the ice armor.
Okay. Ari's gonna take a backslash basically right at your face.
Yeah.
That's a non-natural 20.
Hits me.
All right. And it was 5 plus 3 damage. Oh, did I need to say this before? Forgot about this. I was gonna spend a bardic inspiration to deal extra damage on my attack. Yeah, that I can do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
College of the Swords.
Dude, you already rolled a 5. I don't know why you rolled it again.
That was like extra damage.
Though. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on top.
Yeah. So then, because I have dueling as well, plus 2, 5, 10, 12 damage.
Okay. So after you make that uppercut, Zubzar, you have that moment of, yes, I got him.
And it also knocks him back 5 feet.
As you look from where the blade is lodged in the temporary ice armor, as you look up towards Ari with this look of triumph, Ari's this rusted... blunted short sword cracks beside the side of your face and you lose vision as you stumble back 5 feet. And as your vision comes to, you're leaning over and you look at the ground in front of you and there's drops of blood coming from your nose.
I guess now is as good a time as ever. Hey, Ari. Zubzar points his finger at Ari and casts Hellish Rebuke.
What is that?
I point my finger and the creature that damaged you is momentarily surrounded by hellish flames.
The creature must make a dexterity saving throw. It takes 2d10 fire damage on a failed save, or half as much on successful. So
you can take it.
Okay. That was dex?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That's a 20.
What is this guy? I still take half damage.
Yeah, go ahead and roll damage, Zubzar. And then, yeah, it's half. All right.
Okay. And that's not necrotic, is it?
No, it's fire.
Okay. Okay.
Fire.
Four damage?
Come on. Five, ten. Focus half. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I get you. Yeah.
Okay. And
flames.
All right, you see Zubzar look up, one hand under his nose, kind of just like feeling the blood. And he looks up and makes eye contact with you, and he points a finger at you, and as soon as he does, flames erupt all over you for just an instant, and kind of singe the hair on your arms, and okay. You brush them off.
We said no magic.
You started it.
I'm ending it.
What was the damage again, sorry?
Four.
Four.
It's still his turn, though. That
was it was a reaction, and then it's... Okay. Zubzar, it's your turn.
I will cast Eldritch Blast.
Okay.
How close is he?
He's 5 feet away, though.
He's 5 feet away.
He's reeled back.
No disadvantage. He's not point blank.
10 plus...
Spell attack.
Yeah.
3, I think.
No, so or 13. Four. Oh, 14. Is that it?
14, yes.
Okay, so you take 11.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. You raise your hand, and everyone else, this is the first time you're seeing this. This green and black crackling arcane energy builds up around his wrist, going into his hand, and then shoots out. Elfie, you know what it is. You immediately recognize it as an Eldritch Blast that flies through the air and slams into Ari's chest. Ari, it causes you to lose a quick breath to recover yourself. Yeah.
Second attack.
Yeah.
That's not
how it would be...
Oh, because I thought it has to be physical attacks?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Spell action attack are different.
Okay.
Yeah. Ari, it's your go.
Elfu, what the fuck was that for him?
Oh, that was a good old Elfu special. That's what that was. We'll have to talk about it later.
Well, why not right now? This is not like it's...
Oh, what was that? Go do it. I'm egging Ragnar on.
For once, I'm actually going to listen to the little elf lady. What's going on with you?
I'm like 10.
Yeah, they're
20 feet.
In the middle of a fight
now.
I'm
far away from you.
He can run up if he wants to.
He might not want to.
We let him as soon as he casts him.
Ari's going to barrel towards him and make an attack. Sort of like... pushing him, but also like a stampeding rhino.
Okay.
Kind of attack.
Both of you make acrobatics.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna flip out of this.
Acrobatics. It's a one.
Six.
Athletics. Acrobatics.
You don't have to.
Two.
A two.
Two.
Natural one?
Yeah.
From Ari. Ari, you go to run towards Zubzar, and Zubzar, you watch the mass that is the new Ari. He's all muscle. And he takes two steps, closing the distance between you, and on his second step, he slips in one of the little pools of water and slams into the ground, taking 1 point of damage.
So he's like face first on the dirt in front of me?
Yeah. If you have any bonus actions, I'll allow it, Ari. Otherwise, I would say that was your action to attempt to...
Yeah, I don't think I
Okay, Zubzar, it's your go. Ari just slid.
So now he's like face first in the dirt in front of me?
Yeah.
Okay, Zubzar will lean forward, like right up in front of Ari, like kind of like a, you know, he's going to crack his neck almost, sort of thing. And I put the good old water bottle right in front of your face, and I whisper geyser in your ear.
Waterboarding?
He's
waterboarding Ari right now.
It's like reverse waterboarding. Upside down waterboarding.
I'm gonna push you into the dirt, boy. Is there splash damage?
God.
Ragnar sees what's going on. He's gonna start walking over.
Okay. Okay, so here's what's gonna happen. Ari and Zubzar, I need both of you to make DC 13 strength saving throws.
That's not good. Six.
Wait, plus strength?
Oh. Strength saving throw.
I beat you, but...
What did you get? No? Lower than 13? Okay, so right after you whisper geyser, the cork on of the decanter flips open, and water just shoots out. Both of you take 4 points of damage, bludgeoning damage, and are thrown 15 feet back as the decanter shoots off in the opposite direction from the force of the water coming off. Yeah, both of you are prone. Zubzar, you still have an action.
I pull out my ironwork rifle. Are we done here? Because I'm like covered in water and panting now at this moment.
Ragnar at this point, I'm assuming, has grabbed the rifle out of his hand and then just kind of like smack him across the face with the
bike. Are you going to fight him on him grabbing the rifle?
I'll let you grab the rifle, but when you go to hit me with it, I'm going to hellish rebuke you.
You can't.
I'm out of spell slots.
Okay, so Ragnar...
You just take that.
Ragnar, you trudge over to where they're landing, and as Zubzar gets up and reaches to unhook the rifle from his shoulder, you grab it out of his hands, just taking advantage of the fact that he can't see from all the water, and go to smack him with it, making a melee attack roll. No proficiency, please. No, that doesn't hit. As the rifle comes down to crack across Zubzar's head, the shield sentinel buzzes behind and creates a quick wall of basically hardened light of blue energy, and the rifle hits it and snaps in half.
I just go, fucking thing, fly off.
Zubzar, with now kind of like more pissed off of you, thanks for breaking my rifle.
You were about to shoot your own team.
I wasn't going to shoot him. Gonna shoot near him. He's a charging bull.
Why would you shoot at him? This is a sparring.
Why would I bring a water bottle?
Really, really?
Because I'm a moron.
You two are arguing. Ari, it's your turn.
I'm gonna. Can I get up and?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's half your movement to get up.
So I'm gonna get up, have my sword, and I'm going to charge at Zubzar again.
You guys are right next to each other.
Oh. I thought you said 15 feet back.
No. Both of you went in the same direction. So basically, he was on top of you, holding the decanter against your head in the same position as if he was choking you from behind. So when he said geyser, the decanter shot off in the opposite direction, you guys, and both of you flew back 15 feet in the same direction. You guys landed right beside each other.
Okay. Then I'm just going to, get up and make a big slash just in the middle of your chest. And at the same time, I'm going to glow, producing 10 feet of bright light and 10 feet of dim light outside of that, and deal my level in radiant damage to the attack target.
Ragnar's gonna try to stop his blow from coming in, just the sword. Can't do much about the other
thing.
You're getting hit with it too.
I would argue that you had your turn.
Okay.
Yep. Nope, you get hit now for charging and breaking my rifle.
So that's a non-natural 20, and
you win some, you lose some.
Yazub and Yazar.
So that's 7 damage from the sword, and then 7 damage, or 7 radiant damage, and 3 half damage to non-targets in 10-foot radius.
You take 14. Or half of 14.
14. No, it's just 3. Because it's just the radiant damage.
You take the slash.
Yeah, I got it already. It's on there.
So, sorry, for me, can you describe what the ability is?
It's, you glow, producing 10 feet of bright light, 10 feet of dim light outside of that. Deal your level in radiant damage to one spell or attack target each turn, and deal half your level in radiant damage to all creatures in your bright light, including at the end of your turn.
So everybody, you watch Ragnar and Zubzar argue with each other, and right behind them, Ari begins to stand up. And as he does, the air around him shimmers and shakes as his veins and the tattoos start to glow with this white gold radiant energy. And he stands up, and there is so much going on in the air that the water starts to rise up around him. Ragnar and Zubzar, both of you turn around to see what it is, and as you turn, a gold glowing Ari takes a swing down at your chest, Zubzar, connecting as the rusted blade comes down and connects with your chest. On top of the blow of the blade It's almost like this gust of radiant wind follows in behind it and slams into you, dealing the damage that Ari dealt out. And Ragnar, just being that close to him, you can feel the same burning radiant energy on you.
You're giving me a nasty sunburn for trying to help you.
So why exactly are you over here arguing with
me? Where are you at now, Zildjar?
You should be done.
Yeah.
I'm on the third.
You would have carried over by
now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 20 over 20, yeah.
Yeah.
27.
Cool.
I'm 1 over 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're damaged done to me.
So you should knock us both out.
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys are out of initiative.
So, who won that?
Tie.
Alright, yeah. Everyone.
What the fuck was that, a tie?
Everyone, pick up your money. No one loses any money. I grab mine so quick.
I get up and go over, help Zubzar up.
You were aware he tried to shoot you with a gun.
Yeah, but he also tried to kill me like a bull.
I did come out on top.
I think we learned a lot today.
Anyways, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, Ari, you. What's your deal? You.
Guys,
what's your deal?
What are you doing throwing Elfus out?
I don't know how else to tell you guys. I figured training day was a good day.
You mean like you could... Can you ever communicate with words and not actions?
Not usually, no. You remember the bone mace?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Alright, so pause on training, I guess. Can we talk about...
I don't know where to begin.
Why are you look at each other?
Why is your blast different from his?
They like different Gatorade.
Probably, what?
They like different energy mana source.
It's probably,
Gatorade.
Yeah, it's probably a different god. Probably a different deity.
Some more warp spawn bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You do magic.
Yeah, hey.
You've known about that for a while.
You're shitting on me for magic, and you do magic.
Mine comes from a pure source, my homeworld.
Mine is pure to me.
Do you even know who you're getting your power from?
Sometimes. He's nice.
What happened to not having God in your life?
He's not a god.
How do you know?
Well, why does he glow?
I don't know if he's a god, but...
Yeah, what is with you?
He's big always glowed.
Well, only recently.
Well, I did tell you that I traveled to the Holy City after I was reborn in the Elderwood.
Just really quick, you would know about all of this. You're well aware of
it. Yeah, I guess as far as she knows, he's always close.
Yeah.
You're the jelly guy that I met.
Just to back that up, she's correct. She would already know this. Continue.
And I gained the abilities bestowed upon me by the goddess Ione.
More warp spawn bullshit, but go on.
You could call me a guardian of knowledge.
Me too! That's kind of like what I did.
Also insight check.
What?
I was in a library.
Okay, hang on, hold on. Who's insight checking?
Him saying, I'm a guardian of knowledge. That's a 16.
Can I religion check?
Yeah, go ahead and make a religion check.
Are they looking at me right now, or are you?
That's a five.
Everyone's talking to
Ragnar. Ragnar's definitely staring at you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, hold on. So many things happening at once. Yeah. Insight?
Insight on him saying, I'm a guardian of knowledge.
No, that's him.
Isn't that me?
No, he just said, yeah, me too.
Oh. Describe who you're talking about.
Can you roll persuasion if you're telling the truth, deception if you're lying? I mean, I know what it is, so...
Deception.
Two.
Yeah, Elfu, he's just like, this is good old Zubzar for you, like, this looks like an out.
Hey, Zubzar, tell us the truth, for once.
No. Finger guns.
Anyways.
Okay, sorry, what was your religion role?
It was 5, so I don't know anything.
No, continue.
But guardian of knowledge.
Hold that thought. Zubzar.
Me.
Am I going to tell them, or are you?
What do you know that he does?
I mean, like, you could.
Spill the dirt.
Tell them if you want.
Spill the tea.
Yeah, let's do that. You tell them. You tell them everything.
Why do I feel like I'm going to have to punch Zubzar in a moment?
Zubzar has...
I take a step away from Ragnar.
...made it a pact with something. I'm not sure what.
From where?
Good something or bad something?
He may not have known what he was making a deal with, but it isn't good.
Did he have a choice? Did you have a choice in this?
No.
How did you not have a choice? You, Elfu, don't you have a choice in your pact?
Sometimes you don't. Now I do. But sometimes you don't.
I had no choice whatsoever.
Insight check.
Deception.
Deception check, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're
15.
Lying is a deception.
I'm lying.
Yeah, so make a deception check.
I'm going to do an insight on him.
Oh, nice. Not 20. Get wrecked. Get wrecked, boy. Nope.
No, even 23? With, depending on how high it is, even with a nat 20 can happen. But I would say 23 wouldn't be high enough. Yeah, you guys can. As far as you know, he's telling the truth.
All right. Well, he didn't get a choice, which could mean it's super evil.
So in other words, we keep an eye on him. If you fuck up, we kill you.
I wouldn't recommend that either.
Well,
I could do that right now with very little difficulty.
Like,
the guy that I made the deal with wouldn't agree with it if he killed me.
I don't care about him. I'd kill him too.
That also probably wouldn't be true.
Deities don't care about you. Deities didn't care about me.
I definitely don't believe a single word you're saying.
Well, you can try to kill me at some point, but I won't make it easy on you.
I don't think it needs to come to that.
And how did you find out about this?
Zubzar asked Lyra to help him with a book he found in the library.
What kind of book?
It's the opposite of what gives me my power.
Good to know. I run upstairs towards the library.
Okay.
He doesn't fit in the stairwell.
No, he came downstairs.
yeah, you guys watched Ragnar book it out of the room.
So, what is it specifically?
That I don't know yet. Lyra and I are still...
And I won't know if we don't let me read it.
Is it from, like, the hells, the abyss, gods?
It's got some abyss stuff on the front.
Oh, I need to brush up on my abyss. I'll read it later.
Alright.
I also know
Elfu can read it with me. There. Babysitting.
Ragnar, you make it up to the library, where on a table at the end of the room is a open book with, as far as you can tell, it's bound in some sort of skin. The pages themselves are made out of, again, a skin of some sort. And over top of it is Lyra, her tail sketching along the different letters and characters of the Abyssal language.
I walk up to Lyra and be like, is this the book that Zubzar is trying to get to read?
Oh, he told you.
No, actually, Ari did.
That's good news.
Yeah, I'm going to take that book with
me. Was he brave when he told you?
Ari?
Yes.
Yes, very brave. He glowed like a fucking torch. He kind of burned my skin. It was unpleasant.
Oh, interesting.
I then cast Defense from the Damned to myself. It works like Protection from Good and Evil.
Okay.
And I pick up the book.
Okay, yeah, you put your hands underneath it and pick it up. Lyra, by the way, has folded herself down into a small paper drake, so she's on top of the page.
Lyra, get off the book. Paper thing, move.
I apologize, but Ari did ask me to translate this, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take this to the squat hut, and I'm going to burn it. It's evil.
I can't allow you to do that, and I don't believe Ari can allow you to do that either. Destruction of knowledge, no matter how evil it is against our deity's wishes.
Cool. That's good for your deity, but I'm destroying this book, because it's obviously affecting Zubzar.
May I finish collecting the knowledge that is inside it, at least for myself, before you do so?
How quickly can you do that?
Give me another few hours.
By that time, that idiot will come up here and try to take it.
Then don't let him.
Fair.
I told him that it would take me the better part of a day to do it. I was lying. Can you give me another few hours and then do what you will with the book?
I will. I'll stand here, stand guard for the next 2 hours, and then that 2 hours hits, I'm taking that book and I'm burning it.
Deal. Put me down, please.
Done. I put her down.
And as soon as you do, you see her tail, which was etched over top of her and tracing those characters, just speed up, and it goes through a page every 30 seconds as her claw just moves to the next page, move to the next page, move to the next page.
Just turn around and just kind of like hands on chest.
Okay, everyone else down in the training room, you can continue your conversation.
So how's things going upstairs, Ari?
Let's keep our focus down here. That's what I thought. Any other questions?
Do we need Ragnar?
Like, what do you mean?
Like in the group.
Yes, we need Ragnar.
He's trying to wreck my stuff.
You tried to shoot Ari.
Yeah, but you
made her puke.
He used magic. We both used magic. I used a gun. Who cares?
I care. I didn't use magic. I
There's
love
ice
magic.
All over the floor. Somebody else used magic too.
The entire building's made out of ice.
It's magic. What's your point?
Anyways, I understand having a pact that you don't agree with.
I don't necessarily not agree with it. I just can't tell Ragnar that.
Okay, cool. Just don't fuck around.
Yeah, well.
Alright. Ari. Yes. What happened to you? I know we never, like, talk about it, because it's kind of a sore spot how you abandoned us. But what happened?
You're right. I did abandon you.
I wasn't saying that.
I was in a state of panic. As you saw, I'd essentially been reborn. And I was previously being possessed by the hag. I was not ready for combat. I'm sorry I couldn't have been more help.
It's fine. We're all together now. But, so you're like a guardian of knowledge now? You're like a paladin or something?
Not exactly. My powers would be similar to yours in nature. But my deity is Ayun, the goddess of knowledge. And she's granted me, you might say, holy abilities to guard knowledge around the world.
Zubzar, Niara, Mira, and Elfo, I need all of you to make religion checks.
17.
Okay.
Can I know what he's talking about?
4.
We'll get there.
12. 15.
18. Niara.
I might be 18 too,
wouldn't I? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Niara and Zubzar, both of you recognize the name Ayun. Zubzar from your studies as a paladin. Niara from your teachings in the Rose Circle, that Ayun was once the goddess of knowledge and has since fallen from grace and is no longer a driving force in this world. Though she does have many followers, keepers of knowledge and the like, she currently is not considered a god by many. She's considered just one that doesn't exist anymore.
As a defender of knowledge, Ari, shouldn't you be defending the knowledge upstairs from that brute?
I trust that Lyra can handle the guarding of that knowledge.
Okay, well, if you believe so, then I believe you, so.
Alright, well, where do we go from here?
We could go outside and use my newfound warlock powers that I can actually use now.
Nera, do you want to fight? Let's test out his warlock powers. I mean, you don't have to.
I guess.
We can. I have no spell slots left, technically, right? Or is that reset?
Cantrips.
I'm actually feeling tired. Yeah, I don't have to. I'm tired from all the fighting of the bull over there, and I point to Ari.
Here's what we're going to do. Everyone, as you decide to break and go about your day, training, your different troops and your different responsibilities, I need everyone to leave the room except for Ragnar. So everyone else except for Ragnar has been excused from the room. Ragnar,
no.
As time goes by and you can hear the rest of the party leave the training room and go about their business throughout the cathedral with training and the like, a few hours pass by and you hear the tracing of Lyra's tail over the paper finish and she speaks to you. It is done. You can do what you wish with the book.
What is this book exactly? How bad would it have been if we had let Zubzar fully read it?
It's a collection of memories told from an adventurer who went into the abyss. Do you know what the abyss is?
From what I've gathered while here, it's the hells, I'm guessing. Something dark. My people would probably call it the warp.
It's similar to the hells in the way that it is evil in what it is. Where the hells contain a society of devils who work under malicious means, they do follow very strict laws and abide by them according to their hierarchy. The abyss is its own, it's almost its own living entity. the demons that live there live on different layers of it that are seemingly endless.
That sounds very much like the warp.
And it's evil. Every aspect of it is evil.
So then his power comes from this place.
His power comes from something from this place. If it came from the Abyss as a whole, he would not be the same Zubzar.
I've already seen him change in the last little while.
I've gathered that. And I believe that this book should be destroyed. And I believe he should be watched. And I will communicate with Ari about this.
What are you going to do when he comes for information from this book?
I'll tell him a lie. It isn't the first time I've changed the course of history to better the good of the world. But if he does go further, I urge you, do what you need to.
Oh, I will.
Perfect. And what would you like to do with?
Ragnar is going to pick up the book and just carry it pretty close to him. And he's, okay. I'm just going to walk to Frutala's squat hut and walk in and be like, squat, I'm burning this book.
Frutala takes a moment to look up at you. It looks between you and the book and then gestures to the forge. Suit yourself.
And I just walk over to the forge and just toss it in and then use a iron rod poker and just make sure that it gets nice and hot.
And you toss it in and it doesn't burn at first, but the skin that's used to bind it slowly starts to shrivel and dry up and blacken. It doesn't really catch fire so much as it shrinks in on itself, losing its mass. And while you're stirring it, your thoughts turn to what's happened over the course of the last few weeks and how you've gotten to where you are and the changes you've had to make to yourself. What do you think of everything that's happened so far?
That this has been one crazy, messed up ride. That I'm in a world that under normal circumstances I would be helping to raise to the ground. And now I'm having to work with people I don't generally like or want to be associating with, but I need to find the people that I crashed on this planet with.
And do you feel any kind of emotional, maybe not attachment, but do you feel empathetic towards them for what's happening or the situation that these people are in? Like, understanding that you don't like them. Is there any kind of emotional connection that...
I should say he doesn't necessarily dislike them, but everything's been beaten to him that these are not humans.
Mm.
These are Xeno. These are not humans. These are things that should be under your heel, not walking freely among you. However, he does feel almost a father-like kinship to Elfu, probably due to the fact that he's also half-human.
Mm-hmm.
With Niara, he feels like there's a connection with nature and the way she handles Gaul, the Displacer Beast. He doesn't necessarily... He sees power in her. He sees that she's made something of herself. He sees Elfu trying to make something of herself. Mira, he just... For where he comes from, wood elves are outcast elves. Mm-hmm. People who have been shunned by society and kicked mm-hmm. away. And Zubzar, he's on the edge of wanting to kill. Ari, he just thinks he's a tall, walking, flesh mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't know what to think of the whole glowing thing going on. Because
mm-hmm.
he felt radiance of good. He doesn't know what to quite make of that.
Okay. And as you finish watching the remnants of this book burn, what are the last thoughts you have of it?
His thoughts are basically thinking, I'm going to probably have to kill Zubzar. Like, he had a choice in this. Whether or not he says he did, he could have come forth early on, confessed to everyone that something has come to him, he tried to give him power, but he accepted it. He didn't fight it, and he's been freely using it. And he thinks this is a concern.
And that is where we will end tonight's episode.